Welcome to the Association of Schools and Colleges of Optometry's podcast series. ASCO produces podcasts on topics pertaining to the field of optometry, being or becoming a doctor of optometry, academic optometry, and more. Listen to our podcast through the ASCO website at opted.org or ASCO's YouTube and iTunes channel. Today's topic is education enhanced through patient care. And we welcome Dr. Nate Lighthizer, Assistant Dean of Clinical Care Services and Assistant Professor at the Oklahoma College of Optometry, and Dr. Elizabeth A. Steele, Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs and Associate Professor of Optometry at the University of Alabama at Birmingham School of Optometry. Welcome all. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start with the basics. Optometry students spend time in the classroom, obviously, and in clinics as well, where there's an opportunity to care for real patients. Just a few questions about this part of the optometry program. When do students first go into the clinic, and what happens from there? Dr. Steele, let's start with you on this.
Well, as you know, it's a four-year program, optometry is, and the time at which the students enter clinic is going to vary depending on which school it is you're asking that question. So here at UAB, we have an extensive basic and vision science curriculum for the first year where we have the opportunity to partner with dental schools and other professional schools. And so that benefit in our educational program actually pushes our start to clinical care a little bit later than some of the other schools. With our clinical activities, our students don't start until the very beginning of their second year. And as you would imagine, it sort of builds from that point. It starts with some observation and some pre-testing type clinical activities and then moves in from there. And the students are not only going to take care of our patients in our internal clinic, but they'll be rotating through our community clinics as well.
And Dr. Lighthizer, the further a student works towards the Doctor of Optometry degree, I would guess then the more hands-on clinical work that student can anticipate to experience, the closer they get to that degree?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Our students begin their clinical experience in their first year, and that is not seeing patients directly. They are just shadowing or observing a second, third, or fourth year student, but they're still in the clinic and just observing the processes of clinic and how things go, but they do get direct patient care interaction via observation of older students as they're in clinic. As they progress throughout their schooling into second, third, and fourth year, they're going to get more and more clinical care. For instance, our fourth-year students currently right now are in nothing but clinic. They are done with their classroom learning or their didactic learning, and they are 100% in clinic. So it progresses from mostly in class and just a little bit of clinic observation in the first year to almost all clinic, or in this case, all clinic in the spring of their fourth year.
And we're told that the work in the classroom complements the clinical experience, and the learning in the clinic complements the learning in the classroom. Dr. Lighthizer and Dr. Steele, what might be a few examples of this complementary clinic and classroom relationship? Dr. Lighthizer.
Well, you certainly they have to complement each other. You can learn, you know, whatever you want out of a book, and that provides you your a good foundation. You've got all the concepts and the principles, you've got those down, or you've learned them, you've been tested on them, but then you really remember it and it drives it home when you see something in clinic. Yeah, I learned about it in a book, I saw a picture, but then when you see it in an actual patient, that really complements that didactic learning with a real live, you know, clinical experience, and that is how they complement each other so well. So we have all kinds of classes where they have the classroom teaching, but yet then they see the patients. You know, we have anterior segment disease class where they're learning about disorders of the front half of the eye, and then when they see those disorders in the front half of the eye in clinic, that helps to drive that home. So they really complement each other back and forth.
And Dr. Steele, do you have anything to add to that?
I agree completely. I think that was said very nicely. And what I'll add, I also happen to teach in the clinical skills course, which takes place in the second year. And this is, of course, where our students are beginning to learn all the steps of the eye exam. And they're learning how to put that data together in their heads and decide what to do about that data and what next step there may be and what are the different options of further testing or management. And so, like Dr. Lighthizer mentioned, yes, they're learning it in a sequence and they're learning it as it is sort of on an outline or in a book, but it's very hard for it to be solidified until those patient care experiences have occurred. So a lot of times, what we find in our curriculum is that somewhat of a planned redundancy of didactic material is sandwiching a clinical experience. So the student may have been introduced to a topic in a particular course, like the clinical skills course. Then they have, you know, a several-month period or a couple of semesters where they have had a chance to have some of these patient care opportunities, and now some of the courses on the back end are going to come back and review some of those things and help solidify some of those fundamental ideas in their heads.
Another essential part of this clinical experience is giving back to the community or a community service type program. Doctors, please talk a little bit about how this community service helps patients who might not have access to healthcare. And Dr. Steele.
Well, I agree completely. Our internal clinic here at UAB does serve the general population, but it also includes a program by which these underinsured and underserved patients can receive care. So in addition to that, we have a community eye care program that reaches out and actually travels out into the community where patients are typically underserved, where there's less access to care. And this plays not only a major role in what we do for the community, but the experience that our students have, because it allows them to see these patients that are in fact underserved in terms of their health care. These are patients who are very appreciative of the care that we provide, but because they have likely not been getting the proper health care that they may not have access to or afford for one reason or another, these are patients who need more than just eye care. And so our students are getting the experience of someone, for example, who has undiagnosed diabetes or under-controlled hypertension and or much worse, less common conditions, where we have the opportunity to intervene and communicate with other healthcare providers and make referrals as needed. So we're very glad to be able to do that and to serve these populations.
And Dr. Lighthizer, your thoughts about how the clinical experience can help with community service?
Yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, we're very fortunate here at our Oklahoma College of Optometry. We are partners with Cherokee Nation, which is the biggest and largest federally recognized tribe in the nation. So, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of Cherokee Native Americans that we are fortunate to get to see. And with that number of patients, it's a challenge to see all of them. And it's so fortunate for our students to be able to serve these patients and that wouldn't have access to eye care otherwise. You know, we are their eye care providers. So, you know, it's a great for Cherokee Nation in terms of access to care. It's a great as an educational opportunity for our students to be able to see all of these patients and all of the things that go with that community.
And Dr. Lighthizer, in your clinic's service to help with the Cherokee Nation, talk a little bit about the specific challenges that doctors and patients can face in that setting and how this might translate into a unique learning experience for students working in your clinic.
Yeah, a big challenge is seeing all the patients. You know, we have wait lists that go into the months or years in some of our clinics just because of the number of patients that we see and are responsible for. So that certainly is a challenge to be able to get access to all of these patients, a lot of which have pathology, not only in the eyes, but in systemically as well. And, you know, a delay in care could be critical to both their eyesight and or their life in some instances. So it certainly is a challenge to be able to see all these patients. We feel like we meet that challenge pretty well. But that with all those patients, that translates to a great opportunity for to the students to learn how systemic disease, like Dr. Steele mentioned, affects the eyes, both diabetes, hypertension, or high blood pressure. So that certainly is our students get a strong background in ocular disease as well as systemic disease and how to co-manage with medical doctors, internists, primary care physicians. So we really work hand in hand with them to best help the patient and manage the patient as a whole.
I would imagine, too, that there are specific problems unique to specific segments of the population, maybe genetically, there's something that they all share that is unique. Is that true in the field of optometry?
Certainly is. Here, you know, we see a ton of diabetes, just a tremendous amount of diabetes, which is a systemic disease that affects our Native American population more and tends to be more severe than the general population. There are other communities where there are certain conditions that are much more common in the Native American population, things like inflammatory disorders and iritis, that just tend to affect them to a higher degree, and that gives us the opportunity to serve those patients and teach our students as well.
And Dr. Steele, Dr. Lighthizer, can you, either of you, both of you, in fact, share a story or anecdote that reinforces the great work that these clinics can do in the community, maybe with a patient or student-oriented story with your school or College of Optometry?
I feel like it's hard to decide which story to tell because there's so many situations where this type of community service has not only saved a patient's sight or life or both, but also provided an experience for a patient or for a student, that is memorable for life. But I will share one. One of the things that our clinic does in its outreach efforts to patients in the city is we partner with shelters, homeless shelters, and also drug and alcohol rehab programs and society reentry programs. So a lot of places where patients are struggling to get back into the community and to get back in to getting their feet on the ground and get jobs. And so that's exposed me and my colleagues and my students to a lot of patients who are trying to get back into taking good care of themselves. And a lot of times that will start with an eye exam because they may need glasses in order for them to get a job. And my very first year of teaching, I had a patient who presented with a headache and who was going through a drug and alcohol rehab program and was told he should get his eyes checked because of the headache. And it turned out after some testing that the student was able to do that he was a good candidate for further testing, some brain imaging. And ultimately, he was diagnosed with a very large tumor of his brain was luckily for him benign in that it was not did not have the potential to metastasize, but very scary in its size and in its proximity to other structures in the brain and its threat to other structures in the brain. And basically, he, you know, in the end felt like we saved his life. We saved his life with an eye exam, and the student and I who worked on this patient together will have that story to make us feel good about what we do every day for the rest of our lives. And there's stories like that and, you know, and similar ones that I'm sure Dr. Lighthizer can share that are just the reason we do this, the reason that we feel good about the community service and the experience that we get to share with our students.
Certainly. And this goes back to what Dr. Lighthizer said earlier about the things that you can't learn from a book. That stuff is there and it's real. But you can't learn from a book how to deal with that situation, or as you would express, the feeling that you can get from diagnosing something like that and successfully treating it. Dr. Lighthizer, any stories you'd like to share?
Sure. And I'll drive home the point you just mentioned. You know, you can learn it in a book, but you can't learn how to, you know, to really drive that home clinically. And you also learn the art of, you know, how to talk to a patient. And there's that certainly matters to everybody, is how you present things and bedside manner, and that certainly is one of the art of optometry, is being able to do that, and you certainly can't learn that in a book, and you learn that clinically as well. I have two stories, and one of them nicely parallels what Dr. Steele just said. We had a similar patient. I spend a lot of my time in electrophysiology clinic where, you know, if you're not familiar, it's a clinic where you do tests called visually evoked potentials, VEPs, ERGs, which is electroretinograms. It's basically, we've all heard of an EKG for the heart. It's basically kind of like an EKG for the eyes. It's an ERG or a VEP. It's measuring the electrical potential of the eyes. And we had a patient that came in and had an abnormal VEP or visually evoked potential. And with all of the other testing, we sent her for neuroimaging. And it turned out she had a brain tumor that, was caught early enough that probably saved her life. And she was very, very grateful. We had one other patient that came in with some pretty significant inflammation in both eyes. And we call it an iritis or a uveitis, and it was in both eyes, and we did some testing, and He had never been diagnosed with diabetes before, and upon some lab testing, his blood sugar and his hemoglobin A1C, which are both measures of the sugar in your blood, were extremely elevated to the highest levels I've ever seen, and he was diagnosed with diabetes.
Wow.
So, you know, we can make a difference in patients' lives every single day, and, you know, both the academics, the classroom, and the clinic help to reinforce that through 4 years of optometry school.
Let me ask you both, as we ask at the conclusion of our podcast, what sort of future do you both envision for doctors of optometry? And Dr. Beth?
I think optometry has a very bright future, but I think the degree of brightness, if you will, is directly related to the advocacy and involvement of its future members. Optometry is a very legislated profession. It's a very close-knit profession that I think has a very bright future, like I mentioned. And I also want to mention that our scope has continued to increase, not just in eye care, but also in primary care, in terms of the opportunities we have to help patients that maybe have undiagnosed systemic disease. You know, the fact that we have the education and the tests and the referrals available to us to help these patients get the proper diagnoses gives us many opportunities to help in more ways than just in eye care.
And Dr. Lighthizer?
Being from Oklahoma, I wasn't born and raised here. I actually didn't do my schooling in Oklahoma, but I came down here and did my residency and have stayed on faculty ever since. But being in Oklahoma, this question really hits home for me. As you may or may not know, Oklahoma has led the nation in terms of a scope of practice for many, many years. And, you know, the future for doctors of optometry, I feel, is extremely bright. Dr. Steele hit the nail right on the head when she said it really is up to us in terms of advocacy and, you know, joining the American Optometric Association, your state association, and just being involved politically, legislatively. We are a legislative profession, and optometry has evolved over the course of the last 20, 30, 40 years to a profession that just did glasses and contacts 40 years ago, and it has evolved medically into you being able to use drops and oral medications, and in certain states now injectable medications and laser procedures. So it is evolving, is advancing, and as you know, as 10,000 people turn 55 every single day, you know, we have an aging population, and I think, you know, people are going to look towards optometry to provide that leadership and that care in the entire eye field. So I think it's very, very bright for our future.
Great stories. Thank you very much. Dr. Steele, Dr. Lighthizer, thank you for your time and participation in ASCO's podcast, Education Enhanced Through Patient Care. For more information, please visit opted.org.